We loved the 1980s wrestling era when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and the family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lainey Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
College football fans, are you ready for week one? DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. That's right. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple of years. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is great offers from the DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code TASKMASTER, all lowercase. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. Only DraftKings Sportsbook is the way to go, and use that promo code TASKMASTER, then the crown is yours. That's right. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use that promo code TASKMASTER. Own it, live it, win the crown. Hello and welcome. I am your host, GP John Paz, from the Two Man Power Trip. Of course, joining me, the former WWE and ECW World Tag Team Champion, one of the greatest minds and bookers ever in the history of the business, the Games Master, the Taskmaster, the Devil himself, Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, how you doing today, sir?
I'm doing fine, JP. How are you, my man?
Doing good. We were just kind of saying off air, it's been cold, colder than it's been in a long time around here.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in Florida, it's been pouring rain too and cold. I mean, it's been like in the 50s and cold for a week.
It's crazy out there. I'm not sure what's going on, but I remember a few years ago it was absolutely this cold, but all of a sudden, damn, we got a nice December, and then January comes up, and it's absolutely freezing. Kind of sucks.
Yeah.
But today I want to talk about a great subject, somebody that you obviously knew how to book, and maybe Vince McMahon did not, but we'll get into that later. But the total package, Lex Luger. What an interesting kind of career he's had. I mean, he was in the NFL. He was basically one of those guys. He just looked like $1 million, looked like a Greek god. When did you first meet the total package, Lex Luger?
I met Lex before he broke in the business, when he was training with Heroin at 106 North Albany.
And what did you think of him then?
Oh, he looked terrific, but he didn't look anything like he was when he ripped his, was at the end of his career. He was nowhere near as ripped. I mean, that guy, his body was impeccable. Crazy how it transpired with him. Really crazy.
Yeah, he had that football body at first, obviously. You know, former Green Bay Packer. He had that great body to him. Just looked like, you know, he's built of stone, but then he got just completely jacked. He might have, you know, eventually had the best body ever in wrestling, right? Do you think, when you think of him, do you think of probably maybe the best body ever?
Symmetrically, yes. But to me, superstar Billy Graham put wrestling on a different level. Lex was great, but he wasn't the first. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He was great. I mean, he probably was better than, but, you know, Lex, Scott, Steiner, and superstar Billy Graham. You don't get much better than that, do you?
No, definitely not. And it's funny, I was just watching an old match somebody had posted yesterday. Superstar, right after he won the WWF title, he was fighting Gorilla Monsoon at Madison Square Garden, and the crowd was going nuts. They thought Gorilla was going to win the title because he was the replacement for the rematch with Bruno. So, like, oh, he's got to be winning the title. The crowd was going nuts. But Superstar looked like, whew, he looked like somebody off of, like, Mount Olympus or something. He just looked awesome.
Yeah, and, you know, he won the most muscular in that contest. He won the best arms. He won the weight class, tall weight class for the Mr. America. I mean, he looked incredible. There's that picture of him in New York City with doing chest and arm pose on a fire hydrant. Do you know which one I'm talking
about? Oh, yes. Yep.
One of the wildest photos I've ever seen in a bodybuilder show.
Unbelievable. As far as Luger, obviously, we know he made a name for himself in college football ranks, played for Miami. He's on a pretty awesome team with Jim Burt, the legendary New York Giant, Jim Kelly, Fred Marion, Frank Richt. I mean, he was on a pretty stacked team there. He played for the CFL. He played a little bit
for the Green Bay Packers. Obviously, he played for Memphis, Jacksonville, and Montreal, as well as far as just some other football leagues. But he didn't make it in football, trains with Hiro Matsuda, and gets into wrestling, starts with Championship Wrestling from Florida. And that's where you first see him. Did you ever think when you were looking at him, like, ex-football player, this guy's going to be a world champion? Or are you just like, he was going to be in it for a minute. He's going to look great, but he won't last. Like, what were your thoughts on that?
He was so impressive. It was hard to say, well, he's not going to make it at all. He was so, so impressive. His body was, there wasn't people walking around in gyms anywhere in the country that looked like him at that time.
Yeah, he was bigger than Arnold Schwarzenegger, technically, if you really look at it. He's taller and he weighed more than Arnold, and Arnold's huge.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he was in the golden age of bodybuilding with Dave Draper, Lou Ferrigno, who else? Arnold, Frank Zane, Billy Graham. I mean, that was the creme de creme of the guys.
Big time. And with Luger in Championship Wrestling from Florida, I think the big thing with him there, and I think everybody remembers, is that Bruiser Brody cage match, right? Were you there at that point when he has that cage match with Brody?
You know, that was the first night I booked, came back and booked, but I was still in Pensacola finishing that angle up. No, but Bill Alfonso was a dear friend of mine, told me all the stories. I mean, for the horse's mouth, you know.
So what happened there? What happened with Brody?
Frank had this strange thing. I had seen him do this with Mark Lewin. I told you, I worked with Frank probably 100 times. 10% of the time I was the babyface when I first started. And if he didn't like it, how things were going, if he liked you, he wasn't going to beat you up. He just was going to make the match suck. He would lay in the corner, you know what I mean? He would sit on the corner, the second corner, and let you hit him, and then he'd hit you. He had something weird about it. And he would get something in his head into it. With Luger that night, and Luger panicked, and I don't blame him. He thought he was going to get killed, and he crawled out of the ring.
Yeah, he got the hell out of Dodge.
Yeah, he got out of the top. Now I've hit two different things that he waited for Frank. Fonzie tells me there's no way he waited for Frank. He got the hell out of there. He didn't even shower. I believe what Fonzie would be someone.
Right. And it was, he gets over the top rope of the cage, on the top rope, then he climbs the cage to get the hell out of there, to leave the match. Brody just basically wasn't cooperating, right? And Luger didn't know, like, kind of what to do. Kind of a rookie still at this point.
Yeah, exactly. He just didn't know what to do. You know, here's the problem that Lex had. And I had great respect for Lex Luger because he started on top he didn't have 10 matches before he was on top. So he had a hard way to go. And it was very hard to start that way. You're supposed to be called the match. You're supposed to be underlining how the match was going. Well,
yeah, I mean, he's basically a baby in the business, right? I mean, you usually don't get good or get successful maybe for a few years in the business if you're lucky. Sometimes, like Steve Austin or franchise Shane Douglas, it took him 7 years to get, you know, real good and understand and be able to call matches and stuff like that. So it's one of those things with Luger, maybe too much too soon just because of his look.
Yeah. And the thing about it is, he looks so good, Luger. Where could you put him? You couldn't put him on the first match, could you?
No.
So he was blowing everything out of the water. He couldn't get beat because he probably didn't know how to get beat. You know what I'm saying? It was a tough, tough road for him to hoe. But I never had a problem with him. He never refused me for doing a job later on when he was polished. That angle I gave when he was, you know, good guy, bad guy at the same time. He was a bullshitter. I thought he'd play that as well as anybody in the country could have played it at the same time.
Oh, I love that with Sting, where Sting is a babyface, clearly the top babyface in the company. Luger's his tag team partner, they're tag champs, but he's also playing a heel with Jimmy Hart and cheating, and Sting doesn't realize what's going on because that's his best friend. He wouldn't be friends with this asshole. You know what I mean? But he was so good at it. He would smile with Sting, shake a fan's hands. Then when Sting turned his back, he'd pull his hands away and, like, wipe his hands off and say, oh, don't touch me. He hit Booker T and Stevie Ray with the roller quarters. And then to Sting, he said, I don't know where that came from. That wasn't me. And Sting would believe him. So good.
Yeah, yeah. I saw that the other day. They played that off very well.
He was almost too good at sometimes playing babyface and heel. Like, they always had him kind of switching before, really, the NWO, because before that, he was switching a lot, babyface and heel, like in his JCP and then WCW run early, late 80s, really early 90s. They kind of had him doing that. He was so good, at playing both, the babyface and playing the heel.
Yeah, I mean, he did a hell of a job. He did a hell of a job.
When you guys lose, well, not you guys, but Florida loses Luger after the Brody thing, he ends up in JCP. Obviously, Flair wrestled him at Battle of Belts 3, so he's very familiar with Lex Luger. He's seen Lex Luger. He knows Luger. Is Flair the one that brings him to JCP and brings him into the NWA for Jim Crockett?
I think the world champion will give it a little bit of room to talk to guys about their home territory. You know what I mean? When you finish up here, you know, you could go to Crockett, or you could go to Detroit, or you could go to Amarillo, or anywhere, you know what I mean? Where other guys would get heat, they never got that.
When you're looking at Flair and, you know, probably him bringing him into the NWA, bringing him into JCP, he comes in, he's quote unquote an associate of the Horsemen. Then the Horsemen turn on Ole Anderson, and kick him out of the group. And Luger becomes a member of the Four Horsemen. Do you like Luger as a horseman? Because he seems to fit that group perfectly.
Yeah. I mean, it was a good group. It was one of the best groups I've ever seen.
With Luger in it, you think? Or with, or you like the Ole version better? Or you like the Barry version better?
All of them were just unique in their own way, you know? I mean, we all have a favorite one. But really did them damage. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, they were great. They were awesome. I love the one with Barry, but yeah. The one with Luger is great as well.
Yeah, and I love the one with Barry. I love Barry. The only Tully and Rick Revivers,
Yeah, they were awesome.
I was going to say, I didn't mean to cut you off. Occasionally, you remember when they would throw in like clips from the show started, Georgia Championship Wrestling, and they'd be downstairs outside in their limo in their suits with JJ, and they just added class. And then when Ole was there and Barry was there, it just added a different layer of toughness.
Yep, totally agree. Definitely did. Luger was an interesting one because he's like the rookie, but you could tell he's the one maybe with the most potential to be the breakout star. So that was an interesting thing with him, because not only is he thrust in the group, they take out Ole, he becomes U.S. champion, holds a U.S. title for a while, beats Nikita Koloff for it. So, like, obviously, you know, there's big plans for him. He's a part of War Games, the first War Games matches, which becomes huge. Hell, they still use him today in the WWE. So, I mean, he became a part of some big things, the Horsemen, War Games, U.S. champion. He had quite a nice run, for sure, at just even to start in JCP.
Yeah, it was, he doesn't get enough credit that he deserves. You know, he was a guy that could play wide receiver, running back, and middle linebacker. Three of the toughest positions, I believe, anyway. And he could use those to the best of his ability.
For sure. He even is the NWA Tag Team Champion with Barry Windham. Then Windham eventually turns on him, and he adjoins the Horsemen, and then Luger turns babyface, and Luger's going to feud with Flair a little bit. Did you think it was too soon to maybe pull the trigger in 88 on Luger winning the world championship over the Nature Boy?
Winning, yes. Wrestling him, no. It helped him. I mean, wrestling him, he's wrestling, you know, the Nature Boy. I thought it was brilliantly done.
He is looking strong in the loss. I mean, Flair is still cheating to win, right? So that doesn't really hurt him, per se.
Yeah, I mean, he was injured in some of the matches. They had jumped him, and he didn't call the match off. It wrestled them, you know what I mean?
Yep.
He fought three of them off. And he almost won matches, you know what I mean?
Yep, and the blood stops one of the matches, so he should have won the title, but the blood stopped it. Yep.
Yeah, and that made sense because they had seen that for 50 years in Baltimore.
Yep.
So it wasn't we just plucked it out of our ass, you know?
Yep. And then JCP sells to Turner, and Luger is still top star. So it doesn't matter if there's new ownership. Luger is still one of the top stars. He fights Flair again, the main event, Starrcade 88, doesn't win the title again. But eventually he'll become U.S. champ again, then have a very, very long run with the U.S. title, few with Stan Hansen in between a little bit there. So you could see he's main event or upper main event. He's still moving up the card, not quite ready for the world title. But once Flair is gone, goes to WWF, Luger will become WCW champion. He'll win over Barry Windham. He'll win that title at Great American Bash. Do you think that he should have won the title earlier or no?
And it's hard. Yeah, probably. The reason why I hesitated, Lex was hard to work with. I mean, you're always on your toes, you know what I mean? And the situation they were in was they were behind us and falling way behind us. And they needed to have exciting matches, not pounding ground and grueling matches like they did have.
Yeah. And when you look at Luger, too, never known as like a great worker, quote unquote, or the work rate, he's great. But to me, he was a good worker because the crowd was into everything he was doing. Whether you think he's believable or not, everyone in the crowd thought he was very believable just because of his look. Not to say he's a great seller, but his selling sometimes got over big time. Just the way he kind of just handles himself. Some of the moves that he would hit, you could tell, like simple power moves, but it just looks extra effective when a guy is that big. But I just felt like the work rate thing, because he could work with Steamboat, and Steamboat was saying Luger was calling those matches, and those matches were great. So yes, he's working with Steamboat, but people don't realize he's the one calling. He's working with Pillman. He's having awesome matches. He's working with Hans. He's having awesome matches. So I feel like that work rate thing with him is, I don't know, maybe overstated. I feel like he's definitely a good worker, or was.
I do too. I think he got it, the wrestling business. The hardest part of the wrestling business he got right off the bat. The psychology, you know, I mean, that role he played, good guy, bad guy, you know what I mean? Where he was a baby face in one segment, a heel or a different one. That's very difficult to do, as you know. And yet he pulled it off. So, I think he did a great, great job.
And the thing I love about him, you know, when they say the airport test, like if you see a wrestler walking through an airport, some guys today, unfortunately, are so small, you wouldn't even think he was a wrestler, or like they don't have charisma, they don't have that look. But guys like Lex Luger, like the Hulk Hogan, obviously you see him walking through the airport, holy shit, there's Hogan, you know what I mean? You may not know at first that it's Lex Luger, be like, that guy's a wrestler, or that guy is important. Like they always said, well, like when he walked into a room, everyone's eyes kind of shifted to him. He had that charisma and he had that look that's like, holy shit, who is this guy? This guy is, he's built, he's a Greek god. He just looks like he's somebody important.
And like you just said, you may not know his name. You may have come from Brazil, never seen Russell Broderick on TV, but you know he was somebody.
He does end up winning the title. Like I said, he has a title reign and title defenses against Rick Steiner, Masahiro Chono, Ron Simmons. All good feuds for Lex Luger, for sure. He ends up eventually losing the WCW World title at Super Brawl 2 to Sting. Good match there. Perfect guy to lose it to. But that's the interesting part. So he's losing the title, but he's only losing the title really because he's leaving. He's leaving the organization. He can't wrestle for WWF basically for a year. So he ends up going to the World Bodybuilding Federation in 1992 after leaving the WCW. What did you think about that? That's kind of a bold and odd move, no? Odd choice.
Yes, because that's not usually the way you do it. And you take a year off and then come in, wrestle, and win it like the first month in. But it gave him a chance to sit, watch guys, and talk to guys. So I think it was good for him.
And he does make an appearance on WrestleMania 8, but it was just with Heenan and Gorilla to promote him coming out for the WBF, the World Bodybuilding Federation. He was even going to be a part of Body Stars and all their pay-per-views and this and that. So Vince definitely took a liking to him. Vince is obviously a huge body guy. He loves those gigantic, those big muscle-bound guys, of course. And Luger had that perfect look and all the charisma in the world. So he was really basically maybe going to be a guest poser. He was going to be a host, all this other stuff. But he does get injured in the motorcycle accident. So by the time he recovers from the motorcycle accident, the WBF is already out of business. So it looks like an odd choice because it's like, man, he couldn't wrestle for a year. He negotiates way out of WCW. He can't wrestle on TV, but then he does WBF and then gets into the motorcycle accident. So not good luck right there.
No. It would have been better if Lex went, if everything was cleared for him, that he went from WCW right over and started working for WWF. Don't you think?
Yep.
Yeah.
If he could have, could have jumped right in. It could have been a part of WrestleMania 8, but obviously WCW block that. When he does come back after the accident and after WBF closes, he's basically an associate of Bobby the Brain Heenan. He's going to be the narcissist. Lex Luger basically going to make his debut with the persona at the Royal Rumble. Shortly thereafter, he's going to have all that stuff added to the gimmick. The mirrors, the girls holding the mirrors, like the look, the robe, like just the whole appearance of Lex Luger. And they were saying that because this was what they thought that he thought of himself. Do you agree with that? Like, he basically, the gimmick was true to life in a sense.
Yeah, I think he played that role as true to life as you could. And it worked for Lex because that's what people thought about him anyway.
Definitely. Did you think that he had an attitude problem, that he was too cocky and, all the things you hear about Luger?
Well, a lot of people did. A lot of people on the outside did. He passed that on. But for me, he was an angel to work with. He was not
he was not that difficult to work with, though. What did you think?
No, he wasn't. Go ahead.
I was going to say, what did you think of when he becomes the Lex Express? So they take that narcissist gimmick, they say he's a part of that, but they lose Hogan, he leaves. So then it's like, okay, we want our next American hero. What do you think about the Lex Express and him doing the All-American gimmick after he body slams Yokozuna on the USS Intrepid?
They had to put a lot of thought process in that. They did. They put a lot of thought process in that. But how do you put that much time and effort into it, not pull the trigger? I just don't get that.
Yeah, how come he doesn't win the world title at SummerSlam 1993? He beats Yoko, but he beats him by countout. I mean, that's just terrible.
Yeah, yeah. I just didn't buy that at all.
And they even do a test run. Like, he comes out with the belt randomly on, like, on a taping, but they don't film it as far as for TV. They just want to see the crowd's reaction. And the crowd is not, like, thrilled with it. It's just, like, almost they're more confused than anything. Like, I don't even know why they tried it, but it's supposed to be an attempt by Vince to see how the crowd would react if he was the champion.
Well, I think it caused more problems, don't you?
Yeah, I don't know. It apparently, it had some attitude issues, but Bruce Prichard was saying Vince basically thought that he wasn't getting over with the audience like he would have wanted, like he would expect it. Like, he wanted him to fill the Hogan shoes. That's pretty big shoes to fill.
Yeah, and you want to see if he's going to get over, you know. Hogan, in all honesty, was not over in Florida like Dusty was. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, some guys in certain areas. Yeah, like Luger, right? Not as over in the north, as I guess northeast, as he was in the south.
He wasn't as over as Junkyard Dog was in Louisiana.
Right.
There was a few guys, not many, but a few. But to do that and try that out didn't make any sense at all to me.
Yeah, if you're going to go all the way with him, because then he feuds with Ludwig Borga, eventually is the co-winner of the 1994 Royal Rumble with Bret Hart, which means that he faces Yokozuna first, and then Bret's going to face that winner later on the night. Luger loses to Yoko, and then Yoko loses to Bret, and Bret becomes the man, which kind of then just puts Luger in the background. They tease a little feud with Tatanka, and they have a feud. Then they have the Allied Powers with Davey Boy Smith as a tag team partner, and it just doesn't work after that, and then he's gone, which then leads to something great, him just randomly showing up on the first Nitro during Sting and Flair's match, and really kind of set the world on fire, because he was literally in WWF over the weekend. It was only a handshake deal. Bruce Prichard didn't handle the contract properly. You guys get the notice. I guess Sting gives you guys the heads up, and you guys bring him in. So did you bring him in, or did Bischoff bring him in?
Eric brought him in.
What did you think about it? Because, you know, you're booking it. The Dungeon of Doom thing is going on, and he just fits in perfectly with Sting, and he's going to challenge Hogan right off the bat.
Yeah, I thought he was brilliant. I mean, how do you not want a guy like the Hot Man? I mean, he's one of the great workers that generation. Why wouldn't you want him if you get a chance to get him? And Ted Wood has a chance to put some money out there to pay for him. I thought it was brilliant.
And the funny part is, he comes back, he agrees to like $150 a year, or whatever the amount is, I believe it was $150, which is basically way less of what he was making the first time around 5 years or 3 years ago in WCW. So he even accepted to do it on less money to kind of just prove all the doubters wrong, to prove that he could be the top star there, and just to kind of prove that whatever happened at WWF was really not his fault. And he was right, because, man, as soon as he's there, he's over. He's one of the most over guys in WCW. So I felt like you knew how to book him, and I feel like Vince never got behind him and never could book him properly.
I think there was something in... Hey, I'm not one to question Vince. I mean, look what he's done in the rest of the business. But he might have had a little bit of phobia of pushing a guy that wasn't as big as Hogan or Warrior, Sid, and The Undertaker and those people. You know what I mean?
Mm.
He might have been saying, oh, I really can't get behind this. That's all I'm thinking.
With him in WCW, obviously, I mean, there's many things. We were talking about the babyface heel thing. He's basically with Jimmy Hart, who's with the Dungeon of Doom, who's having an alliance to end Hulkamania, but he's also with Sting. He's a tag team partner, tag team champion. He's a babyface. So there's that give and take of him being a babyface and heel, which is one of the best storylines and just absolutely perfection on his part, the way he does it. He helps WCW in one aspect against New Japan Pro Wrestling, helping them win the World Cup of Wrestling at Stargate. And then, you know, then he's feuding with the Dungeon of Doom and helping Sting and Hogan and Macho Man and the Hulkamaniacs against the Dungeon, but then by accident hits Hogan. But was it really an accident? Or excuse me, he by accident hits Savage, and that starts a feud with Savage. But it was like, was it really an accident? Because there's an awesome part in the match where people are like, oh, what a screw up. It wasn't a screw up, it was perfect. He could have stopped, and he doesn't stop himself, right? And he hits him anyway. It was literally done perfectly, because then you're like, wait a second, is he an asshole? Why didn't he just stop? He kept going. He could have stopped. It was perfectly done, because it just made you question him again. Wait, is he good or is he bad? It's just really, really well done.
Yes, yes. He played that role impeccable. I mean, he was super on that. Incredible.
And then, of course, when the NWO comes, he's definitely going to be a babyface. But when Bash of the Beach happens, when it's the Outsiders and that third man, that mystery man against Sting, Savage, and Luger, and Luger gets hurt during the match, you almost think like, oh man, maybe Luger's the third guy with these guys. Maybe he's the heel. Because you never could trust Luger. And then all of a sudden Hogan comes out, and obviously Luger's injured. He gets brought to the back. But Hogan comes out, and it obviously changes the game and changes wrestling forever by joining the NWO, which we've talked about. It's in the archives. We've talked about it on a few different episodes with Hogan and with the NWO. But it's great to see Luger is now going to be cemented as the babyface, and he's really going to stick with Sting this time. And he's really going to have a big-time feud with the Outsiders. So him as a babyface worked too, because you could say Sting was the most over guy. Luger may be 1A during the NWO period, because he was mega over.
Yeah, and the other thing was he was over so well with that gimmick, you didn't know if he was ribbing or bullshitting or what. You didn't know what you could take of him truthfully, right?
Yep.
Oh, he did a wonderful job.
And then just fast forwarding a little bit, because, you know, he's feuding with Macho Man again, Scott Hall, Kevin Nash. He's basically feuding for a while with the NWO, has a great showing in World War III. I mean, he's just putting himself up there in the upper echelon. And when people say, oh, the NWO dominated, I know Luger had some big-time wins over them. I know him and Giant technically win the titles, and they get to, you know, put them back because he had the injury, and he used the injured cast to win one of the matches against the Outsiders Super Bowl. But he was getting wins over the NWO. He wasn't looking bad. They were kind of beating him 7-on-1 at some point, 6-on-1. I mean, it was basically kind of designed to make Luger look like a very strong babyface, which then makes his title shot on that Nitro, that big Nitro 100, 8-4-97, it made that so much more impressive, because you thought, okay, they're going to screw him again. He's going to lose. There's no way he's going to win the title. And guess what? WCW Nitro, 8-4-97. Man, what a freaking match. I just love it. The crowd is absolutely nuts. He beats Hollywood Hogan and he wins the title. I mean, what a moment. Maybe the best moment of his career.
Yeah, and it made him a very complex individual where you didn't know where you really stood with him. And I think that was a good thing, having a guy where you didn't know if you really liked him or hated him. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I agree. But I mean, in Detroit or whatever, for that night, they freaking, I mean, they loved him that night when he won the title. That was epic. That's one of those very, very memorable moments. Probably never to be forgotten. But I think it's the biggest win of his career. He obviously had rode wild over the weekend. A few days later, less than a week later, Hogan wins the title back. But like we've talked about before on the show, that was designed so everybody orders the pay-per-view. Hogan loves those pay-per-view points, you know, getting some extra money in his pocket. But that was perfect for the pay-per-view, because I know me as a fan, I was dying to see that next pay-per-view because I wanted to know if Hogan was going to win the title back or not. He shockingly lost it on Nitro. So really good job for Hogan and making money for business, and really good job on Hogan too, because he hand selected Luger, right? He was the one that said he wanted Luger to beat him.
Yep, he did do that. He hand selected him.
He wanted Luger to be the champ, you know, albeit a short reign, but that just goes to show you. I mean, Hogan, all about business there. It's pretty smart.
Well, he was really smart for this point. Yep.
So through the end of 97, I mean, he's going to feud with, and obviously into 98 too, he's going to feud with Savage, going to feud with Buff, a lot of different things. Eventually, something I don't really like, he ended up joining the NWO Wolfpack. I know they were supposed to be like the babyface group of the NWO. Sting joined it too. I just felt Savage eventually. I just felt like he didn't belong in the Wolfpack. The real Wolfpack is Hall, Nash, and Six. I just felt like that Wolfpack, I didn't like him. Did you like Luger in the NWO?
No. I think it just watered down. It watered down. The Wolfpack got too large, you know? So,
oh, yes, definitely.
And that's what hurt it. It's got too large. I used to say, how do you have these guys that are in the NWO, but didn't just walk over? They've been here for a while, and they've been under contract for WCW. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yep. Yep. I didn't like that at all. It didn't make sense.
Didn't make sense. So.
And then basically, eventually, he'll join like that NWO Elite, which is basically Hogan, Hall, Nash, Steiner, himself, yeah, and Buff. And he'll be in another reincarnation of the NWO and a few of Rey Mysterio and Conan, a little bit with Goldberg as well. Eventually, he and Flair will have a team of Team Package. They'll have a team together. Eventually, Totally Buff with Luger and Buff would have a tag team together. I don't know. It felt like Luger almost got lost in the shuffle a little bit. I know WWE had so many main eventers and so many top stars. Do you feel like, I know you're kind of in and out booking as well, feel like he was getting lost in the shuffle here a bit?
I thought the whole thing was getting lost in the shuffle. I mean, you couldn't keep a scorecard. Who was who anymore?
Too much. I mean, yep.
It got to be really, really too much.
Like, he's a heel, he's a babyface. I mean, they turned him a lot. He was feuding with Sting, then he was teaming with Sting. Then when, yep, Bischoff was towards the end of his run in 99, like, Luger and Sting are heel unit. Then Russo comes in a month later, and he's back kind of like, almost not, like, teasing being a babyface. Then he turns on Sting, and Sting turns babyface. It was just, one of those things where, yeah, Sting and Luger, it's an easy thing and an easy feud and easy to get people behind because they love those two guys, whether they're feuding or teaming. But it felt like it's been done there a million times. It just felt like, I don't know, Luger going back and forth too much. And then when Russo comes back again, they do the Millionaires Club against the New Blood. Luger's a babyface again. And, you know, he's feuding with Chuck Palumbo and Stasiak. And he just, wasn't feeling it. It was almost too much flip-flopping for Lex Luger.
It was too much flip-flop. You're absolutely right.
He ends up fighting Booker T when Booker T's the champ. Obviously, he's the heel, loses to Booker. He ends up having a 2-month-long feud with Goldberg, which was actually pretty good. I really enjoyed that feud, but it's one of those things where, I don't know, maybe you didn't think Goldberg was going to lose to Luger, but I don't know, something good for Luger to do in the meantime, something good for Goldberg to do before they kind of wanted to go a different direction with Goldberg. But then, shockingly, Goldberg at WCW Sin teams up with Dwayne Bruce, a.k.a. Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker, and Totally Buff of Luger and Buff ends up beating them and ending Goldberg's career, quote-unquote, in WCW. So it went from, like, okay, Luger's feuding with him, to then Luger is basically responsible for ending Goldberg's WCW career. So in one aspect, it's good, but I just didn't see where that was going and why that needed to happen for Goldberg. I know he was injured, but it just felt like odd booking there from Johnny Ace.
Yeah, I thought it was too.
Like, he loses his career, but in a tag match, and he's tagging with Dwayne Bruce. It's strange booking. And I know we've talked about that on a past episode, if anybody wants to look it up in the archive, WCW Sin 2001. But just a strange way to kind of just be there. And he's in the Magnificent Seven with Flair and Buff and Animal and Steiners and Jeff Jarrett. So there's a big faction there that he's in at the end of WCW. But then WCW goes away and kind of Luger goes away. So his end of WCW run wasn't kind of what it could have or should have been, given the star power he had.
Yeah, and he was just picking up star power then, really. Star power was sticking to him, really, at that period.
And then WCW's over, and they mention him. Vince mentions him in a promo on WWF TV, so you're thinking, oh, maybe he'll get Luger. Obviously, there is still ill will there from him just literally walking out on him and going to WCW and spending 6 years in WCW. So Vince obviously wasn't going to bring him in. There was a lot of heat there. He just absolutely, you know, he absolutely just hated Luger. Luger on World Wrestling All-Stars in 2002, he wrestled there, which was over in a bunch of different countries, whether it be England or Switzerland and Australia. They were just all over the place. He was one of the mainstays there. He does make a few appearances for TNA for Total Nonstop Action, but never really kind of picked it up again, if you will, as far as being that main event guy that we knew from the late 80s and from the 90s.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right there. You know, it was like the comet faded out quickly.
And then if you add in some of the legal issues, obviously the death of Miss Elizabeth and him being there, and we know about the 911 call and everything else that he was there, that also adds to the fact that WWF wouldn't want to bring him in or wouldn't want to use him either, because it's like, man, this guy's a mess right now. He needs to clean himself up. So that, right. I mean, that was huge too. I mean, and just a horrible situation with Miss Elizabeth.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And then his health became an issue. I know he would still wrestle on basically 7-ish, and his health became a huge issue, right? Spinal issues, back issues, and ended up in a wheelchair. Shocking to see that guy, you know, fall from grace, if you will, but really have all those physical issues.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. Whoever was Lex would end up wheelchair like he did. Nobody.
Yeah, just what a shame. But when you look at him, I don't know, he has got that, I guess you would call it a spinal infraction. He just had that issue with his nerve infringement. It just was a big issue. So he ended up in a wheelchair and he ended up in poor health. But man, his attitude is so much different now. I know born again, found God. But man, he's one of the nicest guys. I interviewed him a few years ago, met him in person a few times. Man, he's one of the nicest guys you could meet. Were you shocked at the turnaround in the attitude of Luger?
God can do some amazing things. So he had nowhere to go but up. He couldn't keep going down.
Yeah.
Or he wouldn't have been around. You know.
You think he should be in the WWE Hall of Fame?
I think yes, but legally, that's going to be a hard one to get by that corporation, especially now.
I don't know. I feel like maybe this year could be the year that he deserves. I mean, deserves it. Jeez, definitely deserves it. But maybe this year is the year that he finally gets in, hopefully, because maybe. No, you don't think so?
No, especially. Right now, I saw they put a hold, they used to that, on buying stocks, you know.
Yeah, yep.
So, you know, with something like that, they don't know what he definitely deserves to be in. But with something like that, we don't know what could happen. You know, they're not going to put him in a place.
What do you think is the legacy of Lex Luger?
I think his legacy is that he withstood a horrible disaster and came back. That would have got a lot of people unwound. He did an amazing job.
To me, has to be considered one of the all-time greats. Maybe the best body ever. Maybe the best look ever. Charisma through the roof. Former two-time WCW champion. Should have been WWF champion. To me, one of the all-time greats. With that bar none. Deserves a shot in the WWE or spot in the WWE Hall of Fame. Maybe it won't happen, but I love those documentaries they did on him. So they do seem like they have a decent relationship with him. I just wish that he was in the Hall of Fame just because he deserves that respect.
Yes, he does. I believe that too. And I always call him, well, relax, who's easy.
That's funny. You never know with certain people because they say, oh, he's got bad attitudes. And you're the booker and you got along with him well. So that goes a long way.
Yeah.
Gotta love the total package, Lex Luger. One of the all-time greats to me.
Yeah.
But let's wind this one down and head towards the finish. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Check out the website, tmptempire.com. Kevin, what do you got going on in this crazy world?
2 weeks from now, I'll be in New York at a virtual signing. And after that, I'm going to Minneapolis for another signing, so I want to be back on the road again.
All right. Awesome stuff. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, everybody out there, for listening. See you right back here next time. Have a good one, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You can check us out on Facebook. You can subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother.
We loved the 1980s wrestling era when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lanny Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
College football fans, are you ready for week one? DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. That's right. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple of years. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is great offers from the DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code TASKMASTER, all lowercase. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. Only DraftKings Sportsbook is the way to go, and use that promo code TASKMASTER, then the crown is yours. That's right. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use that promo code TASKMASTER. Own it, live it, win the crown.